that God is real, for I can see Him in my soul.
Hello, my precious family. I'm excited to be with you again today in another episode of the Foundational Truths for Life podcast. I invite you to come with me on a journey through Scripture as we discover and uncover foundations of biblical truth. We're going to put one hand on the love of God, the other hand on the faith of God, and we're going to learn together how to apply God's Word practically to our lives today in Christ. When you talk about Scripture, you've got to come from the perspective of God's love for mankind, that He loves us and He's only good. Otherwise, you're going to get off into something thinking that God is against us, that He's not for us, that God is perhaps even in cahoots with the devil. No, we don't believe any of that. God and the devil, us and the devil, we're enemies. And thankfully, when Jesus came, He defeated death, hell, and the grave. He defeated the enemy and stripped him of all his power. Hallelujah. And Jesus rose victoriously with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And He gave us the keys and authority over the enemy in His stead. So this is why we put one hand on the love of God. Now then, when we put one hand on the faith of God, we're coming from a victorious perspective of Scripture. We're not a defeated church. We're not a defeated people. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. So do you see the connection between faith and love? We conquer because He loved us. We conquer because of the faith that He gives us to overcome. 1 John says, "This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." So faith is how we overcome. Hallelujah. Let's pray before we go any further today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before You. We present this episode to You. There are rich things that You've given me. But Father, I acknowledge I can't get them out. I can't express them unless I have Your anointing and Your ability to teach it. And so I ask You, we all ask You today, for the Spirit of the Lord to come upon me as I speak. We ask You for utterance. We ask You for boldness, that I may declare the mysteries of Your gospel, Father. Give me the tongue of the learned, Father, I ask You. Cause me to speak in such a way where it's easy for people to understand, where it's simple to apply, in Jesus' name. We believe that we receive, and we're excited about what You have for us. Amen. All right, my family, are you ready to go further? Let's go further today. We're talking about the third successive phase that Peter went through in building his foundation in Christ. And all of our experiences are going to be parallel to his. It doesn't mean that it's going to look the same from believer to believer. It just means we're going to all pass through these successive phases. As a reminder, the first and second phases was a confrontation with Jesus. The second one was having a revelation that comes from God by the Holy Spirit. And in today's episode, we're on phase three again. Acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge what the Holy Spirit reveals to you. You've got to acknowledge who you are in Him. You've got to acknowledge who Jesus is to you. You've got to express it and live it so the world can see. Because it's not just the people that say, it's the people that say and do what they believe that are acknowledging the work that Jesus has done in them. So let's move forward and let's go to our foundational scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Who is the foundation of the body of Christ? Jesus. Who is the foundation of our lives personally in Christ? Jesus. And the Bible says no man can lay another foundation. As a matter of fact, if you try to lay a different foundation than Jesus, if you try to have some Hinduistic beliefs and try to be a Christian at the same time, it's not going to work out because that's not the bedrock of Christ. If you try to lay a foundation for any house, any structure that you want to build, and you try to build a multi ingredient foundation, some of those ingredients aren't going to work because they're not going to adhere together. They're not going to be solid like concrete. They're not going to be solid like bedrock, because when you mix your foundation with different ingredients, they don't bind together like they should. No, there's a recipe for the foundation whenever you're building a natural structure. And you can't just throw whatever you want in there. You've got to put the right ingredients so that they bind together and they form a solid foundation. Well, that's the bedrock. That's the foundation that Jesus is. And so when you're laying your foundation in Christ, you follow the architect's plans. The Father, He's the great architect. Jesus is the one overseeing this whole thing. And He's given each and every one of us in the body of Christ our assignment, our own individual plans to follow. And when we follow His plans, we're going to build the way that He wants. We're going to use the materials that He wants. We're going to build deep in the way that He wants. And we're going to build up in the way that He wants. And the whole thing is going to work out. It's all going to be successful. Not because we're so smart. Not just because we've got it all together, not because we prayed a whole bunch and we're just such spiritual people. No, it's the fact that God is using our imperfect vessels as we yield to Him. He matures us up in the things of God, and we get to the point to where we're able to start building on top of the foundation and fulfilling what God put us on earth to do. And so now it's a perfect time. If you've got your Bibles, I want to go further, but I want you to confess this with me. And this is something that I like to do as the Lord prompts me here and there. So grab your Bibles wherever you are, hold it up high, hold it before the Lord, and I want you to confess this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I open my heart and I am receptive. My mind is alert. I receive the engrafted Word, which is able to save my soul. My mind is being renewed. My life is being changed. And today, I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I like that, don't you? That's a great confession to confess over your life as you're hearing the Word being preached and taught from the pulpit, from your pastor, from any minister, from anything that you feed yourself spiritually. It's always great to release your faith like we prayed and with your confession before you hear the Word. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 16, and we're going over Peter's successive phases that he went through whenever he met Jesus. And, you know, his revelation, Peter's revelation, didn't come immediately. It was progressive. When he first started out following Jesus, he didn't confess him as the Son of God immediately. We're going to see that here in Scripture. But in this case, when Jesus asked them, "Whom do men say that I am?" Peter had an answer. He had a response, and it was a definite response. Let's look at it here, beginning in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah. Others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" It's important that we say who Jesus is to us. Nobody can make Jesus your Savior. Nobody can make Jesus your healer for you. Nobody can make Jesus your provider for you. It's what you believe about Jesus that matters. It's who you believe Jesus is to you that matters. Jesus is already these things, and He's ready to do and to be these things for you. But He needs your confession. He needs your profession of faith. He needs you to agree with Him. Instead of saying, "Oh, these bills, I just have so many bills, I don't know how we're ever going to get caught up." Instead of saying something like that, you say, "My God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." That's Scripture. When you agree with Jesus and you put His words in your mouth, then what Jesus says, what Jesus knows He can be and do for you, will come to pass in your life instead of the other. If you confess Jesus as your healer, then He will be your healer, and you will experience healing in your body. But if you agree with the ungodly world, if you agree with all the negativity and the negative thoughts that the enemy is feeding you, and you confess those, that's what you'll experience. So literally, you will eat according to what you say. You will enjoy what you say. You will experience what you say and what you don't say. Because a lot of times, not saying anything is the same as saying something negative. If you want to experience the goodness of God, but you say nothing, you're not giving the Lord access into your life. You have got to open your mouth, open your heart, believe in your heart, and confess with your mouth what you want Jesus to do for you and what you want Him to be for you. And when you release faith out of your mouth, then God takes your words and your faith and He turns it into what you're believing for. Praise the Lord. All right. Now look at this. In verse 15, Jesus asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Can you just see Peter? I know who you are. I know you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And I can just see Jesus smiling right back at him and saying these words. And Jesus answered and said to him, "You're blessed, Simon, because flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. My Father in heaven, He's the one that's revealed this to you. And I say also unto you." All right, now get this. Peter just finished his explanation and his confession of faith. He told Jesus, "This is what I say you are." And then Jesus responds and he says, "That's great. Now here's what I say you are." Woo! That's so exciting. You know, when you have the revelation of who Jesus is to you and for you, that's one side of the coin. That's not all God wants you to know. He doesn't just want you to know who Jesus is to you and for you. He wants you to know who you are in Him. He wants you to know what you have in Him. He wants you to know what you can do in Him. He wants you to know what's available to you as a Christian living in Christ. He wants you to know. And so His response to your confession is, "That's awesome. That's amazing. That's right. Now let me tell you who you are. Let me tell you what I have in store for you." Praise God. Are you seeing this? So you see, Jesus says to Simon, "You are Peter." And that word is Petras. And that's like a rock, something that you could pick up and throw. But he said, "On this rock," that's Petra, "I will build my church." And Petra, if you've listened to previous episodes, is like the bedrock. We used one example to illustrate what bedrock looks like, and that is the cliff of Gibraltar. It's literally this jagged cliff face that is nothing but solid granite-style rock that's protruding out of the ground at the entrance to the Mediterranean. And it's just this gigantic cliff face that's been there. And if you look it up, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. That is bedrock. That is what's underneath the dirt and the soil. That is what you build on when you're building a structure. And when you anchor it to bedrock, your structure, your building, your skyscraper cannot be moved. It doesn't matter how strong the winds are. It doesn't matter if the earth shakes around you. It doesn't matter if the water, the flood, beats against your structure. It can't fall because it's anchored to the bedrock. It's built on the rock. And how many know who that rock is? Hallelujah. Jesus, our Savior, He is that rock. Hallelujah. So when Jesus told Peter that you are a rock, and this rock that I build my church on, this bedrock, this is what I'm going to build my church on, he's not just talking about a substance. He's talking about the process. So whenever you lay the foundation of Jesus in your heart, in your life, as a believer, the process are these successive phases that you go through. And it has to do with opening your mouth, confessing what you believe, which we've already talked about that. And as you begin to mature in Christ and you find out more and more about who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, what you can do in Christ, as you find out what the scriptures say, then you believe in your heart and you confess them with your mouth and things start to change. Things start to happen in your life that they wouldn't have happened before. But it's all about recognizing and seeing Jesus, who He is in all of these cases. When you have experiential knowledge that Jesus is your provider, that's deeper than just knowing Jesus is a provider. He might provide for them, but will he provide for you? When you experience his provision, then you've got it settled deep in your spirit, man. He did it for me once. He'll do it for me again. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not the kind of shepherd that's here one day and gone the next. He's not the kind of shepherd that it was his will today, but tomorrow it's not his will to take care of you like he always has. No, the same way that Jesus takes care of you today is the same way he wants to take care of you tomorrow. If he's good today, he's going to be good tomorrow. You can trust this shepherd because he's not leading you into unrighteousness. The Bible says he's leading you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's going to lead you beside the still waters. He's going to lead you into tall, thick grass that you can eat so much that you're going to be so full that you've got to lay down in the middle of the day. He's the God that's more than enough, and he leads you into success. He leads you into victory. He leads you into every good thing because he's a good shepherd. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse 18. We're talking about successive phase number 3, acknowledge. You must acknowledge Jesus in your life. You must say yes to him. You must make a commitment to follow him. And that's really what we're talking about when we say follow Jesus. You are acknowledging that you are his disciple. You are acknowledging that he is your master. You are acknowledging that his way is the right way, that his word is the right word, that his things are the right things to pursue in your life. So in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers. The first one was Simon, that was Peter before he was Peter, and the other one was Andrew, his brother. They were in the middle of fishing, and they were casting their nets, the scripture says. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." Now that had to appeal to them because they were fishermen. When Jesus said, "If you'll follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men," instead of a fisher of fish. And so, one of the things that's cool about God's plan for your life is when he calls you, it's not a foreign concept. Did you get that? It's not something like, you know, all my skill sets and the things that God has given me from birth, they align with being a surgeon, but I'm calling you to be a clown at a carnival. No, that doesn't make sense, right? That's foreign. It's kind of like trying to breathe on the atmosphere of Mars when you were made for Earth. That's outside of your setting. That doesn't mean that God won't ask you to do things that's outside of your wheelhouse, that's outside of your comfort zone. Those kinds of things he does to test you and to prove you. But God is not going to call you to do something that is beyond what you can do naturally, okay? So for example, I'm 6'1". I played basketball in high school and in college, but my grace to play basketball ended after a certain year. Because I could not physically go forward. I wasn't tall enough. I wasn't quick enough. It was outside of my ability to continue on and play in the National Basketball Association, the NBA. I couldn't do that. And besides, that's not what the Lord called me to do. But my skill sets and my talents for speaking, for leading, and being a leader of a ministry, all the things that go with that, those kinds of things are familiar to me. They're not foreign to me. When somebody talks about public speaking, I enjoy it. I'm like, oh, wow, yes, this makes sense to me. I can see all the different ways to communicate to somebody. I can speak in confidence and not being bashful or shy about what somebody's thinking about me or how my hair looks at the time or if I'm trendy enough. I don't care about those things, really. I mean, I want to look good. I want to look right. I want to be presentable. But those kinds of things don't affect my confidence when I'm standing in front of other people. Because it's not about me speaking. It's about me using the gifts and the talents that God gave me in order to fulfill his plan for my life. So it's familiar. So many times the Lord will give you skills, talents, abilities that agree and align with who he's made you to be. And so my point is, it's not unfamiliar. When his call comes to you, it's not unfamiliar. It makes sense. It also makes faith. You get what I'm saying? It brings peace to your heart. So when Jesus said, "Follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men," they were like, "I can hook with that. I can agree with that. I can follow that." But if Jesus was like, follow me, and I'm going to make you the foundational apostles of the future kingdom of God, they're going to be like, what? That doesn't make sense to me. That's foreign to me. No, you can't be for real. You see what I'm saying? But he brought something to their attention that they could hook with, that they could join with. And so that's how the Lord leads you step by step, every step of the way. It's not unfamiliar things. It's things that bear witness with your heart. And as you follow him, the steps keep getting bigger and bigger. The responsibility keeps getting more precious and more precious, greater and greater. And the Lord just brings you into an area of your life where you look back eventually and you're like, God, you're so good. I'm here. Like, I have this. I can do this. That's God. That's how he's always been. And when you follow him, your life doesn't get worse and worse. Your life gets sweeter and sweeter. Your marriage can be sweeter and sweeter. Your relationship with your family and with your kids can just be better and better. You can just keep getting promoted and promoted and promoted in your life and in your occupation and in your job. You can go further down the plan of God for your life than your family has ever experienced. Even in times past, those who have served the Lord, many times they set you up for what you get to accomplish today because of their labor, their prayers. They weren't able to accomplish all that the Lord is calling you to because they laid the foundation for where you're going in Christ. Just like King David, the Lord told him, no, you're not the one to build the temple. Your son Solomon, he's the one to build it. And so David's like, well, I can prepare. And so he got all the money and all the materials ready. So when Solomon became king, all he had to do was start and step out. So as the Lord leads you to follow him, get this in your spirit. He's leading you into greater. He's leading you into better. And that's the kind of master that you have. That's the kind of Lord that you're following. He's a good shepherd. All right, are you with me? Let's keep going. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus has a confrontation with two individuals. One was his disciple and one wasn't. Just as a refresher, I want you to see again how Jesus handled these two situations. In Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 19, the Bible says a certain scribe came to him and he said, Lord, I'm going to follow you wherever you're going. But Jesus was like, no, I don't even have a place to lay my head. This is not my will for you, essentially is what he was saying. But now, why would Jesus say that? Well, look at the next case. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Well, doesn't Jesus want everybody to follow him? Why would he tell the scribe what he said to the scribe? The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. Why didn't he say, follow me, like he told the other disciple? Well, because Jesus is a real Jesus, and he's a real person, just like you and I are. And when somebody comes up to you, you know where their commitment is, as far as their relationship goes with you. I can trust my wife's commitment. I can trust what she means when she tells me something. But you know, when somebody's really hooked with you, when somebody is really joined with you in life, in the ministry, in your family, in business, you know those who's really joined, who's really hooked. And so evidently the scribe, when he came to Jesus, he was just speaking out of his good intentions. Lord, I'm ready to follow you. I'm excited about it. But Jesus is like, in his heart, he knows, no, he's not ready to go with me all the way. There's still some things that need to happen. But then there are those people who are ready to follow Jesus all the way. I believe I'm talking to a bunch of you out there. How many can lift a hand? You're ready to go all the way. Well, so if Jesus is talking to you and he says, follow me, he knows that you're ready. He knows that you're ready to go with him. But he knows that you're ready to acknowledge to the world that you're his and that you're his disciple. That's very important because how are you going to build your foundation in Jesus Christ if you're not ready to follow him? If you're not ready to follow his word and commit to his word, if you're not ready to trust him and go where he leads you, then you're not ready to be his disciple. You see what I'm saying? In order to be Jesus' disciple, you've got to be ready and committed to do anything he instructs you to do. You've got to be ready to submit yourself to the written word of God. You've got to be ready to pray and seek the Lord so that you make sure that you're following him. You've got to be ready to get your family in church. You've got to be ready to commit your entire life, spirit, soul, and body, and submit yourself to His Lordship. And when you do, that's when amazing things begin to happen in your life. But He told this disciple, He said, "No, you follow Me. Don't go and bury your father first. You let the dead bury the dead." Well, to many, that sounds disrespectful. Like, all I was saying was, I just want to let my dad die and bury him, and then I'll follow the Lord. Well, Jesus isn't being disrespectful. He's not a disrespectful Jesus. He is loving, and He's kind, and He's gracious. If He says something and it seems to rub you the wrong way, then it's just rubbing you the wrong way because of where you are in your thinking. You have to come up. I have to come up and see things as Jesus sees them. And Jesus, He said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's how it's set up. You can't follow Jesus and seek your own plans and your own ways first. If you're going to commit yourself to be a disciple of Jesus, you've got to commit to put His things first. His things come before your family and my family. His things come before your job and occupation. His things come before everything else in your life. God will take care of your family if you take care of His family. And that's where the principle comes in of seeking first the kingdom of God. He's not going to leave your family helpless. He's not going to leave your life and your marriage and your own personal things in that has to do with your life suffering loss and not being taken care of. No, it's the faith step that you take to take care of God's people, His kingdom, His things, and put that first that qualifies you to receive God's perfect will, which is everything in your life lining up to be with the Word. Somehow your children just know what to do with their life. They have a successful life. Money begins to flow. Your marriage is the best that it's ever been. Your life and pursuing God's plan for your life is the best thing that you can do for your family, for your business, for your marriage, for your channels of income. I mean, whatever it is, pursuing God's plan first is what opens up the door for success in all these areas. And it's that faith step that opens up the windows of heaven where God is able to pour out a blessing on you so much that you don't even have room enough to receive it. Jess and I, as we've followed God in our lives, we've experienced this, where we've put Him first time and time again. And guess what? The Lord has blessed us with situations like entire vacations being taken care of and paid for. Money just came in from every place. And we were able to go to Hawaii, as an example, and go see my family and have a two-week vacation. And just, it's all paid for. We got to eat the best food. We got to see all and do all the best things. The Lord paid for our plane tickets. We even, one year, the Lord blessed us with first-class tickets to Hawaii. And I don't know when's the last time some of you bought a first-class ticket to Hawaii, but those things, you know, can be upwards of $5,000 per ticket. But the Lord just blessed us with those. And we were able to ride to Hawaii in style. Hallelujah. But we experienced that success and we were able to accomplish those things and reap those things because we were seeking first the kingdom of God. And God was just able to add those things and pay for all those things. While other people are seeking the vacations, while other people are seeking the things that the world has to offer, we still like some of those things. I mean, who doesn't want to go on a good vacation? Who doesn't want to drive a nice car? Who doesn't want to wear good clothing? But Jesus said, don't worry about those things. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. He clothes the lilies of the field. He provides for them, for the birds of the air. How much more will He provide for you? How much more will He clothe you? Jesus said. And so the defining factor is, will you just be willing to follow Him? Would you just be willing to say, yes, Lord, even though I don't see everything, even though I don't know the end from the beginning, even though some of these things don't make sense to my mind, I love You, I trust You, and I'm willing to go all the way. If You say step here, I'm going to step. If You say stop, I'm going to stop. If You say add this part of the Word to your life, change this, leave this, lay aside this weight, lay aside this sin, I will do it, Lord, because I love You and I love Your people and I love Your kingdom and I'm committed to You because You're my master and I'll follow You wherever You go. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. I encourage you this week, see from the Lord how you can follow him better. Ask the Lord, Lord, what can I do to ensure that I'm following you on a day-to-day basis? Because I don't want to miss out on one good thing. And the end result is you finding and fulfilling God's plan for your life. All right? The blessing of the Lord be upon you, the favor of God surround you, and something good in the name of Jesus happen to you and your family this week. We'll see you in the next episode of the Foundational Truths for Life podcast.